under this atmosphere, can you join me as I bring on the stage our father, the president of Remnant Nation, Apostle Arome Osai.
Still in this room, shout hallelujah. The first thing I have to say is that Zoom is a lie. Zoom. I met some people that I've been meeting on Zoom. I met them live, and my conclusion is that Zoom is a lie. Hallelujah. It's so nice being out here. So nice being out here, and I just rejoice in the Lord seeing my brethren. I think I will whisper this is a whisper. In some instances, coronavirus was a blessing in some instances. Because a lot of you in this room, our paths would have never crossed if not for that unfortunate event. That. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says that in everything we should give thanks. Because the devil cannot be faster than God, the purposes of God can still prosper. There are dimensions of the purposes of God that will begin to shoot out in a situation where it looks like the dominion of darkness has taken over every space. Oh, I'm full of gratitude and thanksgiving. Let us share a word of prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this great privilege to meet my brethren tonight. And I ask, O God, that it might please you to stretch forth your hand and to do your will in our midst. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Once again, I salute you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Please, you may be seated. Thank you, choir. Set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied and did not cease, but the remnant of the men in the camp.
Just to tell you, the Bible reveals that the house of Israel, they were baptized unto Moses. What that means is, that is the grace of the baptizer. God raises a man in our company, he raises a man in our camp, and he builds that man and makes him a man of stature, such a man is now capable to trap the dimensions of God in his vessel. And when God makes such a prototype available that he can trap his dimensions that he wants to bequeath to a generation in a certain season in the man's vessel, what he does is that he takes out of the investment upon that man and begins to put it upon another man. The same grace. So that Moses doesn't need to train these people. The same way the Spirit of God will move Moses under circumstances, under situations, specific circumstances and situations, that's the same kind of enablement that will come to these individuals that are now partakers of the same anointing that was upon the life of Moses. So it was a baptism into the anointing of Moses that God approved as the way to spread his capabilities in the midst of the camp, so that the burden of the ministry will be easy to bear. So most of the time what God does is that he raises prototypes. And then through the principle of inheritance, it bequeaths to members of the fold the grace that is at work in God's labor that he has modeled in the life of a man. And then these men begin to function in the capacity, in the measure of the spirit that was designed to take care of the enterprises of God in that generation. And it happened to be that 70 people were selected from among the clans to be the ones that would be partakers of this anointing that was upon the life of Moses. Unfortunately, on the day of coronation, two of these individuals were in the tent. And God was going to manifest. Without the details as to what was responsible for their lateness was not included in the document. And it came to pass when God came to do that impartation, to take out of that which he gave Moses to distribute it upon the 70. Suddenly it was realized that distance was actually not a value. The limitation that mortals call distance did not interfere with the distribution that God was sending out. So much so that the guys that were in the tent had the same experience and they prophesied even though they were not in the prescribed location. So that day, something has happened that was not exactly within the context of the expectation of the supervisors. And because it was not in the scope of their expectation, they discredited that move that was taking place in the tent. Just like when a move of God springs out, when the work of God begins to break out through a certain individual, through a certain people, and other people looking upon that move feel that the move of God that was seen in that company was not consistent with what their textbook spoke about the move of God. It was not quite within the scope of the text and the description of what it should be. Then suddenly the move of the Lord ran and informed Moses. One of the
individuals, Joshua, that was close by, now began to counsel Moses. Stop those ones. They broke the law. The law that they broke was that they were not present in the place of impartation. So that thing happening there cannot be the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, God works in mysterious ways. When I went to South America, there is a way the Holy Spirit works with us in Africa. I know that way. I grew up in it. America, and I found the way he works with them is different. For instance, as we proceed now, the hand of God will come mightily in this room. Yes, it will come. I'm casting news. Hallelujah. I'm casting news. Somewhere in this meeting, the hand of God will come so mightily. And the way the Holy Spirit works with me is that he gives me custody of the blessings that he wants to bequeath to the people of God. And it's a great honor. And that session will come and God will begin to put some things upon the lives of instant things will begin to happen. Some of them will begin to. So that's how I know the Holy Ghost. And then I went to South America. I began to minister. The way the Holy Ghost used to come to me, that's not how it came. Even me, myself, I was confused. So I now decided to act by faith. And when I connected by faith, that means I forced God to move. When he began to move, the people started jumping. So my interpreter now told me that here, this is what happens to people when the power of God comes upon them. It was strange. They'll be jumping. Crying and jumping. That was the sign that the Holy Ghost was on them. I've never seen. So Joshua saw an expression that was not within that which he was exposed to, and he wanted to fight it because that cannot be the Holy Ghost. You see, none of us, God cannot be totally no. Even in eternity, we'll still be learning him. Beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see
the kingdom of God. The way you were created, the way you were designed, you were designed to be insufficient in your flesh. And so you are a bag of insufficiency, a bag of limitations. And God did that deliberately. Because his intention is that it's the Spirit of God that's going to complete you. For the Bible says that the Spirit helps better infirmities. The Spirit is designed with the capacity to swallow your weaknesses and swallow your infirmities, so that if you are operating with the Spirit as your helper, your performance will be a performance that is beyond the capacity of a normal mortal man. And we are in that era that Moses wished for, that every one of children of God will have the help of the Holy Spirit at his disposal. My duty is to make us understand what this regime in the economy of God is about, and what is the expectation that God has on the strength of this investment that he has made available in your life. I wish that all the Lord's children were prophets, and that God will put his Spirit upon them. When you have the Spirit of God on your life, it means that you have the possibility of being alive to God. Alive to God. It's a possibility. You may decide that you want that possibility realized in your life. Or you may also decide that it will remain a possibility. A potential. You are capable of this, but you never experience that capability. Because you decide not to explore that potential. What does it mean for a believer to be alive to God? Remember, the proof of life is consciousness. That you are alive is an indication of the fact that you are conscious. And so if the life of God becomes your operating system, what the life of God does is that it makes you conscious of God. It gives you entrance into the dynamics of the realm of God. Now, if you have entrance into the dynamics of the realm of God, that consciousness to interact with God, to transact with God, to partake of God exists. That consciousness that comes into your world on the strength of the introduction of the Holy Spirit, it's a consciousness that gives you an entrance into the realm of God so you can perceive the realm of God. That perception of the realm of God is your entry point into the realm that is all sufficient. Your hope of tapping into the frequency that is all sufficient is tied to that consciousness that the Holy Spirit brings into your vessel that gives you the advantage of being able to tap into God's frequency. The extent to which you develop that consciousness will be the degree to which you can take advantage of the potentials of God that are available to you by the Spirit. You must agree that you will never sit here breakdown. When I finished preaching, he called me and said, you said praise the Lord 4 times. The next day I came again and said, you remember the last instruction? We are mourning now. This is a time of fasting. Don't say praise the Lord. So I came to the pulpit and I began to minister. And then someone that had a crutch was this way, and the power of God came. And the lady began to to walk, began to limp, and began to walk, and some things began to just flick. Oh, I said, preach! The man didn't know the guy was on the floor. In fact, that was the day I saved him. I knew that I saved him. But that first day, he counted four, and the others were conscious. You may decide not to take advantage of this mighty, huge potential. But the intention God had in mind for investing so much in you is that he is hoping that you will allow his spirit swallow your infirmity. Let me show you one of the symptoms of your infirmity as revealed in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and down. You have an infirmity in the area of knowledge. It says the Spirit helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought to pray. There's an infirmity in the area of knowledge. If maybe you travel somewhere, you need a maid, and you get a witch to be your maid, and the witch casts a spell in your house, the fact that you are a professor doesn't give you any advantage. In fact, you'll be trying to calculate the principle. You want to use the Schrödinger equation to understand what is going on, and the more you attempt doing it that way, the more confused you become, because you are not competent to confront an issue that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit on the strength of human intelligence. It is an operation that is beyond your mind. And so I'm saying that you have a limitation in the area of knowledge. I know it's very difficult for you in the United Kingdom to accept the fact that you have a limitation in the area of knowledge because of how many schools you have been to. You've been to Oxford, you've been to Cambridge, you've been to Yale, but demons will still humiliate you. The Lord will understand. Now, so God knows you are limited. The best of us, the brightest of us. And so he makes his spirit available with the hope that you will decide to lean on his economy. And when you do that, the first experience you're going to pass into is what we call the regime of hell. You will have the ability to do the supernatural naturally, and you'll have the ability to do the natural supernaturally. That's the proof that you are helped. For the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. See, you can't mount up. You are not a bird. You can't fly. So if you are mounting up with wings, it means it's supernatural. But you will do it like the eagle. It means you will do the supernatural naturally. That's the proof that you have found spirit help. He said that we walk and not be weary. It is natural to walk, but it's not natural to walk and not be weary. It means you also do the natural, supernatural. That's the proof that you have found help. If you don't do the natural supernaturally, and you cannot do the supernatural naturally, you don't have help. You have not entered into the regime. You have the potential to walk in that frequency, but you have not taken full inventory of your capacity in the grace of God. Moses said, I wish. It's my desire that all of the Lord's children will become prophets. And not that God will give them the gift of the Spirit, but God will give them the Spirit. So what I'm talking about is not about a gift. I'm talking about a person that God gave us. And if you are in custody of this gift in form of this person that God has made available to us, the proof is that you should be helped. And if it seems there's an aspect of your life that has been abandoned, it means you've not had sufficient help. Because Abraham is a prototype of what God wants to do in the life of every believer. And it came to pass in the life of Abraham, he looked round about his life, there was no aspect of his life that was not helped. Meanwhile, when he started out, there were many aspects of his life that needed help. His family was given to the worship of the God of the Chaldees, and when they decided that they was not going to worship that God again, the first sign he saw was the sign of barrenness. The spirit that his family worshipped had come for him. That was the first one. He needed a God that had the capacity to reverse what was natural. At the time that God decided to intervene, because he's king, so he decides when he shows up. You can't cry and he will come. How many of you have cried before? Did he come? No. You can't intimidate him. No, he comes when he wants to come. So that's why a critical part of this engagement is that you need to be taught how to wait on the Lord, because the King Spirit shows up just when he wants to. When he decided to visit with Abraham, Abraham's body was dead. If that statement has any meaning, it means biologically his quota sack had no life. At the time he chose to come, Sarah, who had a remarkable case of barrenness, had entered into the season of menopause. That means it was twice as difficult for her to conceive. In fact, conception was not in view. And then the great monarch has the disease when I have a child. Meanwhile, the time Abraham still had life, what he used the life to do, after God had engaged him for 24 hours, telling him about his genealogy, 24 hours engagement, the man went and picked it. After the inauguration, after the presentations that God made, visions he showed him, his response was Hagar. So God asked, okay, you still have physical strength to create things. We will allow you until your body dies. That's what I'm about to do. So God had to wait for him until it was night. And his body had died. And he came and said, you still need help? God is here to give you help. Please don't make him postpone his intentions and come when you are 75. What happened to Sarah was a medical wonder. It was regeneration. It's only the spirit that created the human body that would restore the human body. And that's what happened. And Abraham understood the lessons that God was teaching. And in this work of God, Abraham was confident in the God he had met. For indeed, this God was all sufficient and he could swallow up every infirmity. So, the regime that Moses was hoping that would be the lot and the portion of the children of God is a regime where the Holy Spirit comes with his all sufficiency to swallow up your insufficiency. And that is the case. Demons, witches, Satan, and all the cohorts of the kingdom of darkness will not be strong enough to be devil your life. Something stronger than darkness will begin to manifest through your vessel. And your life is going to be established with his all sufficiency to swallow up your insufficiency. And that is the gate. Demons, witches, Satan, and all the cohorts of the kingdom of darkness will not be strong enough to be devil your life. Something stronger than darkness will begin to manifest through your vessel, and your life is going to be established with his all sufficiency to swallow up your own sufficiency and die again. Demons, witches, Satan, and all the cohorts of the kingdom of darkness will not be strong enough to be devil your life. Something stronger than darkness will begin to manifest through your vessel, and your life is going to be established with his all sufficiency to swallow up your own sufficiency and die to be with you. Demons, witches, Satan, and all the world of the kingdom of darkness will not be strong enough to be devils to your lives. Something stronger than darkness will be filled. Manifest through your vessel, and your life is going to be established with his all sufficiency to swallow up your own sufficiency and die to live with you.
The light which is set out is all
if the person met God before he came to preach, there is a capacity of discernment that is built into you because of the fact that you have exercised your senses and you can try things, you can test things. And the Bible encourages us to test all things and to hold unto that which is good. That capacity to decipher, to sort, and to test is a function that becomes operational by reason of use. Okay? So you can know things supernaturally. You can see things in the spirit. You can hear by the hearing of faith. And you can taste in order for you to decipher and see and know that the Lord is good. So there are four senses that are built into your receptacle. And the moment the Holy Spirit was introduced into your vessel, this your receptacle switched on. Your capacity to use the frequencies that your receptacle picks is the extent to which you can profit from the Holy Ghost. If you are still with me, say amen. Don't forget that the proof of life is what? Consciousness. So, the first blessing that we received when the Holy Ghost came to dwell in our hearts is that our receptacles became functional, and it's on the strength of the function of our receptacle that we can become alive to God. We are awake to God. Before we became born again, the possibility of contacting God or being conscious of God did not exist. It took the life of God to bring that function into our vessel. And so the possibility of being awake to God, alive to God, now exists in this new economy. Are you there? Now, come with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's begin the real lecture. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to read something quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll read something quick. I hope you are not allergic to Bible study. All right, so we'll take a moment, and then I will teach you how to use your receptacle. In those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the ill lamb of God went out of the Samuel laid down to sleep. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called thee not, lie down again." And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." I was just taking you to verse 7 because verse 7 is a commentary. And this commentary in verse 7 is a description of Samuel's state. It's a commentary. Now, this is a commentary, okay? Now Samuel did not yet know the law. The first defect that Samuel had was that at this time, even though he was destined to know the Lord, at this time he did not yet know the Lord. Because if you have the Spirit of God in you, it means God intends that you will know him. That's why he made that provision available. But even though that provision is available, your state in the present time, according to the commentary of your own life, can be that an Abigail did not yet know the law, even though it was her destiny to know God. At the time of inventory taking, she did not yet know the Lord. So that was the state of Samuel at this time. Second thing is, there is another thing that is predicated on your knowing the Lord. You need to know the Lord first before the word of the Lord can be revealed to you. You see, and so the first investment is for the believer to know the Lord. And men and brethren, the Bible says that the Lord is that spirit in the new covenant. In resurrection, the Lord is that spirit. So in the administration of the purposes of God in this particular era, the Holy Ghost is the champion. He's the one that brings the teaching aid of how you can know God now. Are you with me? You are not with me. You are here? You know, those days in the university, I was in the sciences. So if you give us a theoretical course, we'll make an A easily. We don't count those courses. We get busy with mathematical courses. That's what we call courses. And it came to pass that one of those theoretical courses that we had counted that, okay, this is an A, this one. The lecturer went on sabbatical leave. Brought another lecturer to take the course. He had a master's degree in electrical electronics engineering. He had a master's degree in mathematics. He had a master's degree in biological sciences. He had a master's degree in quantum chemistry. He had a master's degree in physics before he now went for his PhD. And the German university gave him Doctor of Science, DSC. That means he can lecture in any science department. If it is science, he can lecture. So they drafted the guy to take the course. It was a purely theoretical course. When he came into the class, he started the course by deriving Schrodinger equation. Now, the issue is that the course didn't change. It was the lecturer that changed. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. That's why Jesus took some time to introduce the Holy Ghost. He said, when the Spirit of Truth is come, because it's the same course, but there's a change in the lecturer. And if you don't know the way the lecturer approaches the course, you will feel. There were bags of failures because no one could discern this lecturer till the end of the semester. That's a man that comes to class with two sets of spectacles. He puts one set and then he puts another set again. His notes are in German language. It was quite a moment. It was a moment. I came to announce to you that the lecturer has changed. This new lecturer speaks spirit language. Do you know that my lecturer is not saying German? This one speaks spirit language. It was Jesus that said, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. When Jesus said the spirit quickens, it means that in the Godhead there is division of labor. Part of what is assigned to the spirit is to quicken you. Now, there are communications, transmissions, frequencies you cannot intercept if you are not quickened. There are some things you will never hear because your station was down. There was no power. Yes, your lines were down. So the transmissions were flowing everywhere, but your transmitter was out of service at the moment. So it is the spirit that quickens. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. That the words I speak, they are spirit. There are words, there are communications that are spirit. And if you are going to know the Lord in this testament, you need to know spirit things. His transmissions, his communications are spirit. So I came to enlighten you because there's an economy of the grace of God that is brooding through your spirit and you are not discerning it. Meanwhile, that is the currency in which your help has been designated. Yes, that's the currency. It's in spirit form because it's the spirit that helps our infirmities. In the division of labor, the issue of helping infirmities was zoned to the spirit. So if you are going to receive help, then you can as well study this lecturer, the way he operates, his style of lecturing, and get used to his approach. Because that is the only way that your life can can take on the shape that Moses desired. Are you still with me? The first question we need to ask is this. Why was it Samuel God spoke to? Somewhere along the line, Samuel was going to need the coaching of Eli. It means Eli understands some dynamics that Samuel is ignorant of. And Eli will have to take the young man through in a late night school for him to be upgraded. You see, because, are you with me? God spoke. Samuel went to Eli. There are two things. God can move on your life, but because your receptacle is not calibrated, the meaning that you draw from the move of God is wrong. The receptacle is not calibrated. The interpretation of what Samuel thought was going on was wrong, even though there was evidence that his transmitter was picking something. Are you still with me? Many people are still on that level. God is transmitting and his interpretation is strange. So he doesn't receive the advantage that the Holy Ghost is supposed to bring to him because his receptacle is not calibrated. I'm still asking that question. Why was it Samuel that God spoke to? There were other functionaries in the temple that were sleeping in the temple. At least you must have seen that Eli had a spot in the temple where he slept. His place. That means if you want to come into the temple to colonize that place, you might have Eli to contend with, because he had identified that spot as his place. So a lot of guys were sleeping in the temple. And then God begins to call Samuel. You know why? Let me show you why. The answer to that question is the subject of my teaching this evening. And the child Samuel, verse 1, ministered unto the Lord. That was the secret. People were allocated assignments, duties to do in the temple. And Samuel was allocated the duty of ministering to the Lord. There is no time in the entire scripture that men began to minister unto the Lord that God didn't speak. It means that there is a practice, there is a culture that existed in the body of Christ in the days of the apostles that we have forgotten, which is the act of ministering unto the Lord. Oh, so how many of you still remember Acts of the Apostles chapter 13? This, I hope you know what took place in Acts chapter 13. God was moving his headquarters, his operational base, from Jerusalem to Antioch. He was moving his resources in terms of manpower. And the agency with which he began to move his resources was persecution. And the believers began to scatter. That was when we knew there were prophets in Jerusalem. Men like Agabus were running a prayer cell. They were underground. And when they came out during the time of the persecution, they knew the direction that God was allowing persecution in the Jerusalem church, because he was building another headquarters in Antioch. And those prophets went to Antioch and met with men like Paul and men like Barnabas that were teachers. And there was a partnership between teachers and prophets. That fellowship gained sufficient ranking to become an apostolic sending center, where apostles, you know, the first set of apostles, it was Jesus that appointed them. But that fellowship gained stature to a point where people could be sent into apostolic missions from that platform. So what was happening in Antioch was that God was moving his resources, and the moment they came and the quorum was accomplished, the ancient protocol was introduced as they ministered unto the Lord and did what? And fasted. The Holy Ghost spake. Any time in scripture that people ministered unto the Lord, there was always a response. He spoke. It was only Samuel that was doing that duty. So the question tonight is, what does it mean to minister unto the Lord? You may never know the power of your receptacle until you begin to practice this deliberately. And I see believers among many nations. As I preach from place to place, I see believers locked out of the bounties of the economy of the grace of God because the average believer doesn't know what it means to minister unto the Lord. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, ministering unto the Lord involves three things. And we are going to practice three of them in the practical session. Then you will see that it takes 5 minutes to pick the mind of God. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes, you can pick the mind of God. What is on the heart of God? If you have exercised yourself unto it, less than a minute, you can pick what is on the mind of God. If you cannot access the mind of God, then you are like sheep without shepherd. And in your own life, God will not be a very present help. Because when you are in danger, you should be able to know what to do to access the mind of God. What do I do? You need to take a decision in the next 15 minutes. How can you break into that shelf? You know, we are too sophisticated. We know the train station. We know the bus station. We know the airport. But we don't know how to minister unto the Lord. So I came to teach us how to minister unto the Lord. If you begin the process of ministering unto the Lord, you are going to discover several things on the path. So I will show you the pathway and the things you are likely to find. Hallelujah. So that when you find those things, you will know, okay, yes, they said we'll find this kind of things here. Because as astronauts explore space, we are called to explore God. That's our calling. Hallelujah. All right, let's take a scripture quickly. Psalms 125 from verse 1 and 2. Psalms 125 verse 1 and 2. Sorry, let me use my own scripture. Sorry, not 125, but 25. Psalm 25. Let me give you the background of what I want to introduce us to. Don't ever forget this. I am insufficient. Don't ever forget that. Now, the psalmist says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Ministering before the Lord is an act of lifting up your soul. Your soul. Don't worry, I'll show you. Yeah? Next verse. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Secondly, it involves reaffirming your confidence in the fact that though you are insufficient, God is all sufficient and I trust in you. Sometimes you need to tell yourself again in order for your confidence to be strengthened. Number three, he said, let me not be ashamed, because there is a possibility of shame in view of the fact that you are insufficient. There are therefore enemies that are mightier than yourself. There are situations that can swallow you up and throw you into confusion. Do you understand that? Oh, you don't know that. The pound is strong. The British pound is strong. So you have confidence in the pound. There are situations. Can you reduce the volume of my microphone a bit? There are situations that can throw you into confusion. It doesn't matter the securities that you have built around your life. Like I said, if the situation is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, it can unbalance you, it can unsettle you. You can be in safety and security in one moment, and in the next moment, a typhoon. Do you know what a typhoon is? Oh my. A landslide can take down all your investment, and that which was the ground upon which all of your properties were standing on vanishes. And you are brought to ruin in a second. All of that possibility exists. So this man is going to his stronghold to say, I know that my world can crumble in a moment. So you are going there to unveil your insufficiency, your fears, your shortcomings. And you are receiving a commitment of the all-sufficient God to undertake for you and to ensure that though 1,000 fall by your right hand and 10,000 by your side, because you had secured the help of him that is the all-sufficient, nothing will come near you. It is a place where you strip naked. You know, we are all, the way we are looking, so confident. But when you begin to minister to the Lord, before the Lord, the first thing you need to do is to strip, because you know you have no content apart from him. When was the last time you told him your fear? Ah! Jesus Christ. Once upon a time when I came into the city where I'm in Nigeria to start ministry work, three pastors came to me and said, oh, you came here to start a church and you didn't inform us. I didn't know that there was a platform where you need to go and, you know, unveil your vision from the Lord so that the human beings can give you approval. Okay, we bless your undertaking. Be fruitful. Expand in the land, in the name of Jesus. I didn't know there was a place like that. So they now told me, you bypassed us. Let us see how you will succeed. I'm talking about pastors. Sometimes it is good for something to threaten you. The psalmist said, let me not be ashamed. So their threat made me go closer to God. Because nobody wants to fail. Sometimes God may allow some threats, some things to threaten you, threaten your balance. Been working for 25 years trying to build an airtight estate, and then COVID. An unforeseen circumstance hits the terrain, and the strong become the weak. Them that were filled now sell themselves for bread. Oh, if you have never seen how insufficient you are, it will be difficult for you to minister before the Lord. Because you come and say, okay, I have two cars packed. Just came back from Yale with my PhD. I'm thinking of garnishing it with another line of study. Thank you for your grace. Amen. Now, you see, such a possibility exists if you don't know your infirmity. So these preachers came and threatened me. So I went back. I said, I came to him and said, am I called? Now, let's start from there. Because I had a good job with the oil industry in Nigeria. So if I'm not called, just tell me now. I'm already doing well. Am I called? Because I went there with, I stripped naked. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead and his disciples, Thomas was the one bold enough to say, I don't get to see his side. I'm not believing. So he showed up and he showed them his wounds. But you can't show God yours. That's why he's not strong in your space. You have not yet lifted up your eyes to the hills. You believe help can come from you. It's a place where you are not ashamed to say how frightened you are. Oh, your soul will be filled with the fear of your failure. So you lift it up. When last did you do that? You are calm and collected. See, the value of the pound will never drop. We can build on the pound. Glory. It was yesterday that I knew that if you need to do anything and you need an accommodation, you pay per hour in Great Britain. That was when I knew how much of the pound runs this place. It's about the pound. But I found a currency that is stronger than the Great Britain pound. It's called riches in glory. And if you don't know that you are highly infamed, that you are sick, you will never know what it means to minister before the Lord. It's a trick that is used to secure God's help, so that he comes and fills your day. He comes and fills your destiny. He comes and he puts his hand upon your life. As they ministered before the Lord and fasted. You see, those guys began to minister to. Persecution has struck in the Jerusalem church. And they began to regroup. There were fears. All kinds of uncertainties there. There was no wisdom on how to continue ministry from that platform. And the Bible says that they ministered unto the Lord in that insecure state and fasted. And then the Holy Ghost. Oh, you have not heard him in recent times. You forgot. You became too busy to minister unto the Lord. So it involves lifting up your soul. Because anytime you are threatened, your soul is going to be full. Because anxiety will begin to preach to you and show you how vulnerable you are. Fear will come into your space. Your soul will be filled. You need to lift it up. Oh my God. I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. So I went back into the closet. When the pastors threatened me, that was what I was doing. And if you see me in that closet, you won't buy me for £5 because I was wretched. Let there be a place where you are wretched. You are too strong. That's your problem. And that's why you fail in battle. But when you acknowledge that I have no strength, I have no wisdom, I have no strength of my own, make sure you show him how dependent, how messed up you are if he refuses to show up. I have no power of my own. I have no eyes. Give me eyes. I have no strength. Give me strength. Those days there was a song we used to sing in the old revival. I have no power of my own. This is the kind of song you sing when you minister. I have no power of my own. I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I have no power of my own. Can you sing it from the depth of your being, from your soul? I have no power of my own. Of my own, I have no power of my own. I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I have no. Sometimes you pray this kind of prayer and then God decides to make you strong. Just like King David, then you forget that you were once weak. And when God shows up, he will say, remember when I took you from the sheepcote. That means everyone should live with a picture of your vulnerability and you use it as a currency before God to demand for help. On a daily basis. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, I will look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Oh, I have no power of my own. Singing, I have no. And if you came boldly into the presence of God and you begin to minister unto the Lord, the first thing you will sense is that he will begin to lighten the body. That is what it means when the Bible says casting all your cares. It's an act of priesthood, an acknowledgement of your insufficiency. That's the way the believer secures help. He has a secret place where he exchanges his weakness for the Lord's strength. Oh my God. If you know how many hours I stayed in the place of prayer before I came out of it. Holy Spirit. I have no power, and
I confess to you,
Holy Spirit. I have no power. It is a congregational confession. We have no power of our own. Send us help. Can you ask him for help in a moment? Just in the next 2 minutes. In the next two minutes. We seek help. He said, remember how I took you from the sheepcote.
The ornament that garnishes you at the moment has not helped your infirmity. I am your help. Never forget your help. Sovre seco tamina. Evo skito. Covelami. Sky tombelli. Scato bocoronte schizo zella mantalia. Ramo secchi lento chemonsile. Raka sela cumbre suselaita. Muketalando. Scame sile. And as the minister of the Lord, I'm fasting. Roketamino seliata. Rokoske sose. Ledumbe, siko presco. Mekilado. Grande schema sai to come lama. Indo sei mamma. Ramo se code. Presco te cunde mamai tomela. And I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I am Lord. Sing and I confess. Confess tonight, we have no wisdom of our own, we have no strength of our own. We minister before you that you might look upon us with great mercy, look upon us with kindness, look upon us, Lord God, tonight.
I have no power.
Jesus. If you can, you may be seated. Listen, never forget that you are insufficient. Never. 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 It is something you bring to the presence of God every day. He has made you strong, but you don't. Your confidence is not in your riches. It's not in the degrees you have accumulated. Your confidence is in Him. Only such a person can minister unto the Lord continually, the way Samuel did. Your receptacle is refreshed. It is adequately aligned for reception. Are you with me? Don't forget this. Now, when you begin to minister before the Lord, many times God wants to meet you in a certain place in the spirit. You know, the Bible reveals that there are diversities of places in Christ Jesus. And it is because of those differences in locations in Christ Jesus that the tongues you speak is not the same every time. Because it's coming from a different place. It's a language from a place. And God may want you to migrate to another place in the realm of the spirit, because that's where the answers that you seek, the support that you seek, the reinforcement that you seek is domiciled. And so in this arrangement, the transport system is what we call the song of ascent. There are 150 chapters of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms contains four books. And in these four books, there are 15 psalms that are songs of ascent. Songs of ascent are modes of transportation in the spirit. And so if God wants you to migrate to another place, He wants you to move to another arena, what He does is that He, through His spirit, He begins to precipitate a song. This song is not so that you can wax an album. The purpose of this song is that it's a means of transportation. It's a song of ascent. It gives you the capacity to gain ascendancy in the spirit. And many times, that song will come to your knowledge and you'll sing it, and you are likely to forget it thereafter. Forever. Because it came for that moment. So one of the things you need to expect if you begin to minister before the Lord is the song of ascent. Sometimes it's called the songs of Zion. There is a country called Zion. That's the kind of song they sing there. And Zion happens to be the administrative quarters of God's estate. And it gives you a song so that you can transport to an administrative location where the office of the Christ can minister to you most adequately. When last did you sing unto the Lord a new song? When last? Long ago. 25 years ago. It means you were spiritually healthy 25 years ago, because the songs of ascent, when it comes through your spirit, is an indication of spiritual health. It is God attempting to enable you to get to the place where you can find help. All of help to satisfy mortal insufficiencies are tied to a certain throne in the spirit. And the Bible calls it the throne of grace. It's an office. It's a portfolio in the spirit. That's where grace is administered. And you cannot be in search of grace and not be intentional about your quest for grace. When you begin to minister before the Lord and you begin to strip before Him and you begin to unveil your insufficiency, which is a requirement for grace, He drops the ladder. Sometimes the ladder is in a song. So that song is a migration instrument. As you sing it, you get sucked into the spirit. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Some of you do. You know, hallelujah. As you sing it, you get soaked. As you sing it, you are being removed far away from the influence of the flesh. And a new layer of overwhelming consciousness of the glory of God begins to saturate you. It's a migration. When you begin to consistently experience this kind of migration, it will be clear to you that the spirit realm, even though it is unseen, it is more well structured than the visible realm. Turn your Bible if you have one. Psalms 137. We'll try from verse 1 to 4. Psalms 137 from verse 1 to 4.
There are new every morning.
Now, okay, I just got this one. This is for migration.
New every morning. Great.
No, don't help me.
I
want you to learn to
faithfulness. Oh Lord. Great is that way. And there are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. And there are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Now, you will remind me of this song, okay? At the right time. I've gone far. When you travel on this gangway, when you travel on it, the viscosity of the presence of God is intensified. And that's what opens up the eyes of your understanding. You begin to know the things that you were not taught. You begin to understand the things that you did not learn. You plug into the educational system of that frame of reference. It is beyond this world. If you know what I'm talking about, you will not respect anything that is visible. Why we look not upon the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. God opens your eyes to see eternal things. Well, I won't tell you what I saw. I saw something. I saw many things. If you live that way, oh my God, oh my God, you will know that there's nothing, there is no one like Jesus.
Great is that good.
Now, that's a song for this night. So, once upon a time, we're going to pick up this song again. Then we'll travel with it. Then the things I'm touching there, I will tell you. And then, don't worry, calm down. All right, the song of the Spirit. Are you there in the book of Psalm 37? Good. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung
our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there that carried us away captive required of us a song. And there that wasted us required of us myth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Even the people that took them captive knew that there were some songs called the songs of Zion. And no one was willing to sing it. So that was why they actually went to captivity, because there are records in the history of Israel where they sang songs and God discomfited their enemies. The songs of Zion are given to you. They are given to you from the spirit realm. And when you begin to sing it, God begins to suck you in. And a consciousness of the realm of your reality begins to become emboldened. That is what it means when the Bible says, magnify the Lord. It is in that context when you are sucked in that God is magnified. It becomes big. Your perspective changes, your problems become small. And in spite, and God may not even change your problems. The problems will still be there. But if you have gone deep, the problems won't have authority over your soul anymore. Because the Lord has become magnified. God must make you win in your soul before you win on the ground. That's the formula. When the thing doesn't influence you again, it doesn't have authority over your soul again, and God will take it away. But you won. That's why the Bible says, in all these things, in the thing, we are more than conquerors. The thing didn't change. It's just that you went into God and saw how big God was, and you knew you were still a victor in the thing. It means the thing doesn't have any authority over your soul anymore. You are a victor. Your victory has been affirmed in spite of the thing. Then God now takes the thing away. If you don't know what it means to travel through the opening of songs in the spirit, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's an opportunity for God to become magnified. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Do you still remember that the scripture says God gives songs in the night? Because he wants, in the midst of that darkness, he allows your spirit to travel through the agency of new songs. And then that night ends. Because the sorrow and the weeping that was supposed to endure for that night is truncated by the regime of the song of the spirit that God makes available to you. And you travel out of the influence and the authority of that challenge because you migrated in the spirit. So you are likely to stumble upon a song in the spirit that will become your means of transportation, that will suck you into God, and it will strip every circumstance of the authority to manipulate your soul. It's still part of the proceedings. Are you there? Then you now experience what is called a summon. A summon is in what we find in the book of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. A summon. I want to show you the organic premise of what a summon looks like. He said, after these things in verse 1, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's a summon. There's an experience of a call to come up. Do you know how it sounds experientially? Do you know the experience of being summoned? Oh my. Come up hither. And I will show you things that will take place hereafter.
It is after a summon that God now opens your the sight of your receptacle. Is it not written in your scripture that God says, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If God wants to show you things, what he does is that is a summon. Have you ever, maybe you left work or you left somewhere, you left the place of your daily activity and you were just migrating towards your house and you began to feel like praying. Has it happened to you? That's a summon. And summons are emergencies. It's not every time God is willing to show you things. It's an emergency, so you need to stop other things to give attention to a summon. You know, I said to us that this regime that we're talking about is a regime that is managed by the Spirit of God. Our possibilities of our chances of experiencing God is tied to the activities of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that there's an activity called summoning. Come up hither. Come up hither. I left work one day and I came home. I think I got home by 5 o'clock and dropped my bag. I was already praying on my way back. I knew that God wanted to speak to me. So I was already praying. And when I got back through my bag here, I still had my tie on. And I just decided to start speaking in tongues. And the Holy Spirit didn't even wait for me to charge. The moment I just began to speak in tongues, I saw through the roof. There was no roof again. I was just seeing beyond my physical. That experience went on for 3 hours. I was restored 3 hours. After 3 hours, my tie was still on. Those were the days where I saw these days. Another day I came back from work. And I began to pray. I began to pray because there was a huge summon. So I began to exercise my spirit, exercise my spirit, exercise my spirit. And I felt one heat. The heat just passed here. Never felt that before. I said, Lord, if you are the one, let that heat come here. The thing was, it was here it came. If it's you, bring it here. The thing now came there. I said, you know, I studied probability. And I'm not sure. Can you bring it to my stomach? The thing came there. I said, if you will not be angry, one more. This one will. I'll be convinced. Let it move to my leg. He went there. So I said, sorry, it's not as if I am doubting you, but, you know, we have to check this thing. The thing went to the... So when he went to the leg and it started fading, that was when my eyes opened and I saw that there was an angel. It was like Coke bottle. You know how Coke bottle is twisted? Glass. And there was light coming from inside. What? When I turned this way, I saw another one. Turned this way, I saw another one. Then I began to speak in tongues. When I tried to speak in tongues again, the roof, and the encounter started. It is impossible for you to think, under the circumstances I was that time, for you to think that I could preach the gospel abroad. Number one, I was a stammerer. I was a terrible stammerer. Couldn't talk. I was next to dumb. And then you are showing me that I'm going to preach. I can't talk. But the encounters were consistent that I could not doubt it after a time. God will never call you to do what you can do. That's why you need grace. Grace makes you a prisoner. He knows you will always come back because you don't have what it takes to continue. So he makes you a prisoner. He knows that you are his, because you need grace. I know how many hours I pray before I have the ability to speak. Because the symptoms of stammering are still here. I'm living on those resources as I speak to you. I live on it. So I know what it means when the Bible says that the Spirit of God helps our infirmity. Sometimes the angels will come by 12 midnight. That was how I began to understand angelic signs. The signs that pass through around my body when angels are present. I learned it ministering to the Lord. When an angel comes here today, and I'm expecting one, in the next 5 minutes, I'm expecting one. I will tell you, and you, I know, don't believe you. The things I speak of, I know them. I'm expecting one in the next 5 minutes. The moment that one appears, I will have a sign. That sign I can't teach you. It's experiential. It's not something about words and language. It's about life and spirit. It's in another frame of reference entirely. There are diverse kinds of summons that God will call you into. If only you can sense that a summon is an emergency and other things are supposed to be left so that you can attend to a summon. You will know the future before that future comes. Because in most of the summons that the Lord has called me, He showed me the future. So I've seen today before today. Yes. What I came here to do is to act what I saw. According to the acting, in 5 minutes' time, an angel will come in. According to the acting. Because we rehearse it in the closet. Then when we come to the open, we just act it. And then you say, I'm a powerful man of God. Meanwhile, I'm not even the best. Maybe the best is sitting here. You have the potential to even have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. Because he that's one of the things he gives. You will never know how intimate you were meant to be until you begin to explore God. And that's why I know that a preacher that is known all around the world is not special. The person that is special is the Holy Ghost. And I came to teach you about him. If you explore the things I'm talking about, maybe I will be forgotten. And that will be in God's interest. Let Christ increase in your life and let the preacher diminish. The work of the preacher is like the work of a best man. He facilitates the meeting of the bride and the bridegroom. That's the role of a preacher. You should lose your members to Jesus. That's the idea. Lose them. You facilitate it. You create an atmosphere. And then you administer oversight to ensure that they don't elope with a stranger. Oh, may the Lord give you understanding. But when you find him, make him king. And bow before him and cast your crown day after day, acknowledging the fact that he's, oh, you see, he has come now. Here. I hope you don't mind if I step down. So we have a practical session now. If what I'm saying is true, God will prove it. Mm-hmm. So what song is that?
Huh? Is
it, that's what I heard the angel sing.
Oh Lord, let his life great is thy faithfulness, oh Lord, great is thy faithfulness.
Now listen. Anytime you hear something in the spirit and you are not sure of it, just sing. If it's on your head, it will fizzle out. Just. So what I did now, I tested what I heard.
Oh Lord, where is thy faith?
Yes, like I said, there is a woman. This woman is called to be a carrier of the presence of God. See, it's a calling. I have that calling, so I know it's a calling. You can bring the presence of God to a place. God will give you the skills required to bring the presence of God to a location. This woman may not even know that she has that calling. But what I see in the spirit is that the angels of the Lord, they are going to clothe her with a garment in a short while, okay? She'll be, don't be creative. So the hand of God will come upon this woman because she is to be released fully into that dimension of ministry. This impartation will mark you for education. The Holy Spirit will begin to visit you and educate you more about what it means to be a carrier of the presence of God. In a few minutes, the hand of God will rest upon this woman that I'm talking about. And it will rest so powerful. It rests so strong.
Is thy faithfulness, oh God,
the hand of God is upon
another woman.
These angels, they have a vessel. I can see a vessel in the spirit. And the angel is anointing. It's anointing me. And the reason why I sense the anointing is because it's anointing somebody else. It's not me. But I'm feeling what is happening to the person. An oil is being poured upon you. An oil is being poured upon you. An oil is being poured upon you. And very soon, the hand of God will drop upon you. An oil is being poured. It's being poured right now. An oil is being released right now.
Now,
there's an anointing. there's an anointing. It's so strong. Holy Ghost.
It's thy faithfulness. Great is that faithfulness. Oh Lord. Great is that faithfulness.
Listen to me. I'm seeing three lights. Three lights. There are three people in this hall that God will give the anointing of a seer. Before this conference ends, you will start seeing into the realm of the spirit. And there are three of them. 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 Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. There are three of them. That anointing will rest upon. To rest upon you.
Oh, great. Is that faithfulness? Oh Lord, great is that faithfulness? Oh, great is that faithfulness? Oh Lord, great is that.
The anointing is so strong, so strong, so strong. Anywhere you are, you can speak in tongues now. Simon Morocos Kesamina Haito. Usakanta Bresco Falama, Bresco Felamina Sicatelli. Imantelio Capresco Cabalato, Maschiso Sele Kentale. Choir, please help me. Help me.
Oh, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, great is thy faithfulness.
Listen. Listen if you can. There is an oil upon you. There's an oil. Now listen, listen, please, listen if you can. You know, we are close to that point where the Holy Ghost will take over. So, but before he does that, let me do one thing. Sorry, please. Is there anyone here? And one of your ears hears better than the other ear. If you are the one, please just do your wave like this. One of your ears, hearing on one of your ears is reduced. The one ear is better for hearing than the other ear. Now, just follow my instructions. Follow my instructions. No, no, you are. See. Ah, Jesus. See, you know, this is all I have is what. Don't hurt him. When I say reduce the volume, don't increase it. Here we go. was on a crusade ground and he left. I don't want that experience again.
Is thy faith?
No. They don't need to come here. God doesn't need them. God is everywhere. Just stay where you are and follow the instructions. Take this finger. Put it in the ear that cannot hear. Just slot it in. Follow my instructions, okay? This finger, not this one. This one. Block it completely. Block it completely. Okay?
Where is thy faith? Oh, Lord. Where is thy faith?
All right. I want to pray. I'll pray for a few minutes. Don't remove that finger. Leave it there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise, I give you glory. And this moment, I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirit, be bound in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke upon that life. And I command you, come out of the ears in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. Remove the finger. Take this other finger, block the one that can hear. Block it completely. Now, if you are close to any of these people with the fingers in the ears, help the person conduct a test on the other ear quickly. Just like if you are standing close to her, go there and help the person conduct a test. The white lady there, if there's anyone standing close to her, conduct a test on the other ear. Do speak into it. If she can hear, then you let us know. If you can hear, let me see your hand up. Okay, the white lady can hear. Wait. This is a practical. As they ministered unto the Lord, then God now spoke and said, I want to heal ears. It has nothing to do with the preacher. You don't understand. I'm teaching you how to heal ears in the bus. Okay, she can. Yeah. The other person there, I'm here to get a feedback from them. And I'm here to get a feedback. Go. Okay, you, sister, come. She can't hear. Huh? It's better? No. Come. Can I lay hands on you? Sorry? Amen. So, can you hear with the ear?
Yes.
What was the condition before today?
It was just a little bit less able to hear from the other.
Was there any improvement after the prayer?
Yes.
There's an improvement?
Yes.
All right, so we want to... Can we exalt the Lord? Amen. Amen. Can I pray for you? All right. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you for this miracle. We decree that it is permanent in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Check her ears when she stands up.
Great is thy faithfulness.
having a pain in your ear before the prayer? Is the pain still there? The pain is gone. You know, this small baby cannot lie. The pain. Oh, this Jennifer's. Jennifer. Glory to God. This is Jennifer's son. Oh, the pain is gone. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. You are welcome. Now, listen, listen. I'm seeing someone with a pain here. 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 Where are you? See. Okay. Here. There's a pain here. You. Come. You. Come. Now, listen. Oh, you have that? Okay. Come. You. Now, listen. Yeah, join up, join up. Oh, you were the mask thing allowed me identify you. Listen. Those of you that have come because of this pain, yes, I'm waiting for you. I need to announce to you what the Lord told me. Listen to me. The pain was a means through which I could identify you. Right? The Lord will take the pain away, but beyond the pain, one of you is going to be anointed. There's one of you that is going to be anointed. The pain was a means of identification so that I will know the person that God will anoint. Alright? It's a means of identification. Let me find out if he will anoint another one. Great is thy faith, O Lord. Great is thy faith, O Lord. Great is thy faith, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I break the yoke. I break the yoke in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this anointing that you have decided to put on these ones. Hey, Jesus, he's so strong. He's so strong. He's so strong. Holy Ghost. Of time, we are going to pray. Hey! Oh, now I know. God wants to upgrade us. He wants to upgrade us this evening. He wants to upgrade us this evening.
There are new every morning. New every morning. Where is that day?
Release. So, We are going to welcome him with some moments of tongues. And those of you that have a calling and you have wandered away from your calling, the anointing of that calling will come on you again. In a moment of time, can you reach out to him in the spirit? Just forget about your neighbor. Forget about the person by your side. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Can you hear me? There are two evangelists in this place. I'm not even aware. I don't know if you know that you are an evangelist. But I see two cloven tongues of fire hanging in the atmosphere. And whenever I see this, it means there are two evangelists. The fire of the Lord will descend on these two evangelists. And tonight will be the night of your commissioning. Yes, God will take his fire. The fire of the Lord will come upon them. The fire of the Lord will come upon them. The fire of the Lord will come upon them. These two evangelists, the fire of the Lord, the fire of the Lord. Now, ushers, help me with the evangelists. I need to lay my hands on them. Your calling must be restored. Your calling must be restored. The anointing on your life must be restored. That which God wants to do through you must be restored. You came here so that the grace on your life can be restored. There is a fire that God wants to put in your bones. There is a fire that he wants to put in your bones. God wants to empower you. God wants to put his hands upon you. Yes. The evangelist will rise. The evangelist will rise. The evangelist will rise. The hand of God will come upon the evangelist. The grace of God will come upon the evangelist. The fire of the Spirit of God. Oh, let grace be poured out. In the name of Jesus, the hand of God will be strong on your life. The fire of God will galvanize your life. It is a time of revival. Samoseli Koteliama Broskete Kalababoria.
Eso se la mina ken. Eso salamo keria babasa. Ende de so ke la mina donde. Raskeso se la batale. Eko basin. Yes. 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 The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Spirit will descend upon him. Oh yes. Come and roko si koro. Rasko se se la ir. Esko se se la manter. Amo roko sabi na neti. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The flames are restored. The flames are restored. The flames are restored. In the name of Jesus. The flames are restored. In the name of Jesus. Furia mama said. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus. There's a special anointing that will come upon someone here. It's actually the gift of prophecy, but the channel of its manifestation will be through your dreams. You will see things that are yet to come to pass. Heriamomosik. You'll see things. Oromo seke kana momori kata. Iromo sondeleri amama yeko. Oromo sakila. Sibra baba konde. Brokoto benazaliate. Iman salabonde, makai lo kobre masil. Yes. And there are new every morning. New every morning. Where is thy faithfulness? Listen. Someone will receive the gift of healing here. Someone will receive the gift of healing here. It's a heavy anointing, so it might shake you a bit. It might shake you. It might shake you. It might shake you. It's a heavy anointing. It's a heavy anointing. Sumegede morokos keta maida. Endoromo korea. Ah. Oh my God. There are new everyone. It's a heavy anointing. Speak in tongues. Many things are being manufactured right now. Many things are being manufactured. Oh my God. 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 Say come seketali. Endorokosi kobrestove la mantalia. Ramaseli come la curia masatala. Things are opening up in the spirit. Things have been manufactured. Before this conference comes to an end, there is a session where God will open wombs. Wombs will be open. Wombs will be open.
Sleep this night, then the window of angelic visitation is going to be open this night. I know you don't believe, don't know. Okay. This night, first prayer point is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 42, verse 1. As the heart panted, can you put that scripture on the screen so that the people won't need to strain themselves? As the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God, as the deer. And it happens to be that the deer, when the deer starts becoming thirsty, it begins to give off a smell. And the smell that the deer gives off makes the predator know that it's close by. So anytime it's hungry, thirsty, it begins to pant because it knows that it's vulnerable. It needs to find water. That's how vulnerable we are when we cannot find the mind of God, we can't find the presence of God. The state of vulnerability. Can we pray tonight and say, Lord, make me pant for you? When you begin to pant for God, some things will no longer matter around your life. It's a different experience altogether when you begin to pant for God. Can we pray that prayer in a moment? Lord, cause my soul to long for you. Cause my soul to long for you. Your walk with God will change the moment your soul begins to long.
My soul desires you. Many other things begin to lose interest in my space because my soul longs. So many people may not understand me anymore because my soul longs. Thank you, Jesus. My soul longs for you. My soul longs for you. When your soul begins to long for God and people come around your life, you will infect them with what has infected you. People will begin to long for God because of your hunger for God. My soul longs. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Second prayer point is a blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is a test for purity. We need to pray that God will perpetually grant unto us a righteous heart and a consistent spirit. You see, if you are not consistent, you will not experience much of God. It's a marathon. A righteous heart and a consistent spirit. Every day you wake up in the morning, you know the drill. Your spirit is longing, so you give your spirit an avenue to engage. Can we ask God for a righteous heart and a consistent spirit? A consistent spirit. Your best spiritual days will not be in the past because your spirit is consistent. Masaiko brosketa minaka la baburia. Zikamante ko bregedela supria. Ikos kabarato minasaleto. Once your spirit is consistent, nothing can stop you. You can break through any limitation. We desire your righteousness. We desire purity. And we ask that you make our spirits consistent. Purge us. From anything that makes us lose the consciousness of your presence around our lives. Make us consistent in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. There is something called the test of time. Wine becomes better with time. Milk becomes bad with time. So I don't know what sort you are. Are you milk or are you wine? Finally, you want to say, Lord, make me better with time. Yes. The part of the just, the Bible says, it's like it's as a shining light. You're supposed to get better with time.
But we've seen some believers grow worse. But that's not your portion. You want to say, Lord, with as I move next year, I'll be on a higher pedestal. Make me better. With every passing moment. Make me better. With every passing day. You can talk to him right now. He'll make you better. With every passing day, he'll make you better. He'll make you stronger. He'll make you better. He'll make you stronger. With a stronger in your spirit. Every passing moment. You'll be stronger in the spirit with every passing moment. You'll be stronger in the spirit with every passing day. You will have no better yesterday because his hands will be upon you. His grace will be upon you. Make me better with every passing moment in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. So I want to pray for you. Oh my God. See, one of you in the choir, the hand of God is on you. I just touched you now and I felt the anointing on your life. I felt the anointing on you. And it's going to intensify in the next few moments. I felt the anointing on you. Felt the anointing. I felt the anointing on you. I felt an anointing there. I can't explain what is in the realm now. I can't explain it. This is what happens when it decides to come like light. The intensity is building. I need to escape from the pulpit. Because if this light comes here, It will suck you into the spirit realm, and the things that trouble you will become small. That is when you will know what true power is, what true grace is, because his hand will become so strong in your life. His spirit will become so powerful around you. Oh, the light intensifies. Very soon sicknesses will start getting healed. Yokes will just, all in its own accord, things will begin to happen. Yes. Yes. For some of you, some yokes are breaking off your life. Yokes are breaking. Mia sokelam breskisoso. You see, the bonings of the Lord, they are here. The bonings. The bonings. Kavorenis. Kaitoso korondo minaskilo. Hebroko vesamina. There's someone that a pain on your body just left you. I sense a pain. A pain is, okay, it's leaving you already. It's going now. The light intensifies. Thank you.
to testify. Yes.
To intensify. Ruske Samenaka. Miss Govroko Santoria Brigadier. Malanto Minasan.
We give you glory. We give you praise. Oh, Jesus. 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 We thank you. We thank you. The grace upon the lives, upon the callings, have been renewed.